Well, the field of candidates for the US Democratic nomination began as the most diverse in history, but it's narrowed to a race between the former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders, laying the stage for an election this November that will pit President Donald Trump against another white man in his 70s. Eleanor Whitehead reports.
The candidates fell thick and fast this week. First, Amy Klobuchar, then billionaire Michael Bloomberg, the last to withdraw Senator Elizabeth Warren, who was once a frontrunner but disappointed in Super Tuesday's voting across 14 states, coming third even in her home of Massachusetts.
I was told at the beginning of this whole undertaking that there are two lanes, a progressive lane that Bernie Sanders is the incumbent for, and a moderate lane that Joe Biden is the incumbent for. And there's no room for anyone else in this. I thought that wasn't right, but evidently I was wrong.
She was the last woman left standing among the top tier of Democratic candidates in a field that started out as the most diverse in history. And she's been quick to allude to the impact of sexism on her campaign. Here's what she had to say to US television host Rachel Maddow.
It's just going to be a little longer before we're able to have a woman in the White House. But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Elizabeth Warren is yet to endorse another Democratic candidate, but rivals have aligned behind Joe Biden, whose comeback this week was one for the history books. David Smith is a senior lecturer at the US Studies Center at the University of Sydney. He says Michael Bloomberg's support could be pivotal.
Bloomberg's money, I think, could make a big difference to Joe Biden. Because even as Joe Biden was racking up these victories on Super Tuesday, his campaign has been in serious financial straits. There were Super Tuesday states where he spent nothing or almost nothing. His campaign organization is weak and thin in a lot of critical places. So whatever money Biden can get out of Bloomberg, and obviously we could be looking at something on the order of hundreds of millions of dollars, that is going to be very helpful to him.
The moderate former vice president has reclaimed his position as favorite to win the party's nomination. He's accumulated more than 620 delegates compared to Bernie Sanders's 550-odd. But there's still a long way to go. Almost 2,000 are needed to win the nomination.
It is certainly not over yet. Sanders has an actual movement behind him in a way that Biden can't really boast. And the last two people to win the presidential election, Barack Obama and Donald Trump, were also people who had that similar level of enthusiasm behind them. Biden, you'd have to say, hasn't been a particularly inspiring speaker on the campaign trail. His major asset seems to be the conviction that people have that he is the candidate who can beat Trump.
To have gone from the most diverse pool of candidates in election history through to a race between, as I said, two white men, both in their 70s. Yeah. What does this tell us about the true appetite for a candidate of a diverse background within the Democratic Party?
I think that this shows us that generational change is going to take a while. I think had most people been asked a year ago, who are the front runners going to be at this point? Most of them probably would have said Biden and Sanders. And that reflects the fact that they both have been around for a long time. And, you know, that matters a lot. So it's not enough to have new up and coming women and candidates of color. They really have to be around for a long time before they can secure the kind of acceptance that will actually get them the Democratic Party nomination. I think we also have to take into account the baby boomers are a big and important voting bloc. And what we're seeing at the moment as that generation goes through retirement is a pronounced preference for candidates of that age.
The next round of primary voting takes place on Tuesday.
Our reporter, Eleanor Whitehead.